got something to say, but you ain't got all day. Inaugural edition.
Before we get into inauguration talk, Happy New Year, everybody. It's
Happy New Year.
Yeah, it's been a long 20 days.
It's been a weird fucking top of the year.
Yeah, and before we get into inauguration talk, let's talk about January 6th, shall we?
I don't know, where do you want to start? You want to start with the glaring hypocrisy? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, I think that the hypocrisy is one thing.
Ooh, the hypocrisy.
It was nuts. Just watching all of that unfold early afternoon, and I think I text you like during mm-hmm. the actual like the rally portion of it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I said something along the lines of, these people are going to burn these streets down. And I said mm-hmm. it like tongue in cheek, mm-hmm. not really knowing
they were gonna that actually were to burn off. The streets down. Yeah, exactly.
And I just it was yeah oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it was the most shocking, and I think that's part of the reasons why I don't have any words for it. And I, you know, yes, we said, you know, the hypocrisy, which I'm sure we'll get into, and I don't think either of us want to give this as much time as, you know, we could give it, because quite frankly, the yuck yucks don't deserve it. But I think that it was shocking to see. I think that the hypocrisy in, you know, how those folks were treated and the ignorance that some folks seem to have around saying things that, well, it's just the same. It's the same as a protest. It's the same as burning buildings down and doing this and that during Black Lives Matter. It is not the same.
No.
It is not the same.
No, not at all. And I had several of those conversations, unfortunately, mm-hmm. with people saying, oh, well, I remember Portland over the summer. It's like, well, so do mm-hmm. I remember.
We're all, yeah.
I don't need a reminder, and things are very, very different. And mm-hmm. when you want to, first of all, I think it's very dangerous to lump groups of people and say, well, all of these people were here for this thing and they were all yuck yucks. And I understand they were not all yuck yucks, right? Mm-hmm. But
I think they were all fucking yuck yucks. I'm sorry. I think you're a beautiful person. I think they were all stupid clown yuck yucks. And to show up to a federal building and quote unquote storm the Capitol like you're watching The Princess Bride is fucking ridiculous. And it's ridiculous. And I think that they were all clowns and they were all yuck yucks and they were all treated with special treatment. And
that I agree with.
Compare a group of people getting together in various cities because they've had enough of police brutality and the murder of Black people in this country, to compare that, the entitlement to be able to compare that because your candidate lost, grow up.
Yeah.
And that's the long and short of it. Because if I remember correctly, I feel like I was called a snowflake and I was told I needed to grow up and I need to get over it. Shit, I was told that I should get over slavery. I mean, what? Please. And your candidate lost, and now QAnon and Pizzagate and shamans and Kyle's jumping over the fucking courthouse with zip ties claiming he wasn't going to do anything with
them. Oh my gosh, what were you doing with zip ties?
Come on, Kyle. And I'm pretty sure that guy's name was Kyle, so I challenge anybody to argue with me on that. Maybe his name wasn't Kyle, but he had Kyle-like tendencies. And he was a yuck yuck and a clown. If you were there and you were participating in that tomfoolery, you have been played on the deepest level of being played.
Yeah. And I think that's so crazy to me, is that all of those people were led there based on unfounded lies. Lies.
But they believe them.
No, I understand that. I know. And they're so passionate.
It's hard.
They're so passionate about it. And I mean, show me the receipts.
Well, they don't need receipts. This is the problem. Ma'am. So this is the problem when you don't live in a fact-based world, when you are fed bullshit from your news station, which will shall remain nameless, right? And you're just fed nonsense, and you do not challenge yourself as an individual. Do I predominantly watch CNN? Yes. Do I check my sources? Do I look for other receipts? Do I look for other lanes of information? Yes. Mm-hmm. Crack a book. It's really satisfying. It's crazy, you know? And this is the kind of shit where, like, you, what is it? The 1776 report.
Yeah.
Full of clown shit.
Yeah.
Full of just whitewashing of slavery and nonsense. And people are reading this.
Mm-hmm.
It's words are very important. And people believe the first thing they read. And it's like, so now I've got to go out of my way to be like, hey, instead of this year, 1776, try reading 1619 Project by the New York Times. That is a more accurate depiction on what this actually was.
Yeah.
But to have to fight the information battle is the really hard part, because it drove people to complete madness. And it all unfolded in front of our eyes on television in the middle of our workday.
And I can't tell you. Isn't it also fascinating, though, how we could be saying the same things, and out of one person's mouth, it's truth, and out of another, it's completely ass backwards, right?
Okay, I'm going to say something. Is that fascinating? Depending on which side of the fence you're on, it looks different, right? So I could be talking to someone who's on the other side of maybe they're a Trump supporter or whatever. And I call that the other side because, I mean, I think we've clearly arrived at the point where that is truly, truly the other side. Yeah. You are not a Republican, you are a Trumplican. And that is a very, very different thing, right? You either storm the Capitol or you stage your ass home, right? So, and then you've got two points of view. So if I look at you and you're a Trumplican, I look at you and I go, your news source, where do you get your news from? Are you educated? Probably, maybe. Where do you get your news source from? What do you believe to be truth, right? And then the other side of it is, if you're looking at me, Trumplican's looking at Melanie, are you just racist? Or do you question where I get my news from? That's the layer that is not on the other side. Like, I don't look at that person and go, well, you are this, so you must be this, right? But I get treated that way all the time, and so do you. It's the same people who assume that I'm stealing in a very expensive store, buying bags that I make more money than the guy who works at the counter. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's the same idea.
Absolutely. Which is why I think it's dangerous to lump everybody together. But back to the yuck yucks. They were all dumb, and now they've got all their friends ratting them out all over the place.
That is my favorite part.
I love it so much. And there's billboards. I think it's great. You know, if you know this person, they've all got like ID numbers, you report them by their ID numbers.
It's fantastic. My favorite was the girl whose mom kicked her out. I don't know if you read about the story. Her mom kicked her out because she came out as bisexual, I think. And then she was like, watch TV. And she's like, that's my mom, my aunt, my uncle, and reported every single one of them. They had kicked her out of the house. You know what I mean? Like, and just heads up, like, Facebook has been hard for a lot of people the last couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about you, Tamala, but like, I want anybody to know, like, if I saw your ass at the Capitol and I see your ID number come up from the FBI, I'm reporting you. I am reporting the shit out of you. I am reporting you and putting your ID number on social media so other people can report you. Like, I am telling on you. I am ratting you out.
You and I are very different. I'm going to give somebody a call first. Like, just
why?
I'm not going to give them a heads up. What? I don't know.
To discuss what? What are you going to discuss with them?
Because heads up, Steve.
I saw you at the Capitol, and I just want to let you know that I'm calling the FBI.
That I would never do, but I would question, like, what were your intentions, Steve? Like, why were you there?
Do you want to know Steve's intentions?
Because I would have to.
But
because but I would, like, need to know.
Okay, let's just, like, I love that we said that we were not going to give this a lot of time, but fuck it, here we are. So it's fine, we're doing it. So let's just say Steve, you saw Steve, you've known Steve, I don't know, let's just say since high school. And
oh my God. Yes. Okay.
He, you know, he, you see his face at this Capitol building. And so you're like, oh my God, I know that guy. I know his address and I know where he lives. And the FBI is looking for him. I'm not going to have a conversation with Steve. I haven't had a real conversation with Steve maybe since, I don't know, 1999, right? So if I haven't talked to Steve since 1999, but I see Steve's face at the Capitol and then saw him bust open a window, I'm not going to call Steve and give him a heads up. I'm going to call the FBI and give them a heads up on Steve's actions on the day of January 6th.
Okay, cool. Yes.
Because he earned it.
If I see him busting open a window, absolutely, then I know what his intentions
were. Because he earned it. Not just like in the crowd.
Yeah.
Like if you were just in the crowd, all I'm doing is looking at you and you're just confirming everything I knew about you from your Facebook posts. But that's different. But if I saw you commit acts of violence, then I'm
you
sorry,
don't get
Steve,
a
you
up.
Have to get reported to the FBI.
Yeah.
And I would have no problem doing that. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because there is not a single person on this planet who is, who would not do the same to me if I behave that way. Mm. Not to mention, let's just say I don't behave that way, which I don't. That still doesn't mean that I have not been accused of things like lying or stealing or different things because of the color of my skin with no proof at all.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that little boy who got accused of stealing that horrible child's phone. Right? So people have no problem doing these things. And at the end of the day, like, I know we're all talking about unity and I think we should definitely get into the inauguration. I feel like all this is very important, but accountability is different from unity. Accountability is important and accountability is what needs to happen moving forward for everyone involved in whatever this America is going to look like. Yeah, but fuck Steve, he's getting reported to the FBI. Fuck that guy. I you know.
Let's talk about today. And what a day. You know, so what was, okay, the election was, I don't know, what, 5 years ago? When was that?
It was I don't even remember. I blacked out. It was a long time ago.
It was.
Arguably 4 years ago.
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, I don't know. That was the first time I actually, a lot of people don't know this about me. I am actually extremely patriotic. And if I was a better student, I probably would have been a politician or a lawyer. But I am a shitty student and I did not become that. But I love Inauguration Day.
Yeah, same.
I've always loved Inauguration Day. And last year was the first year that I was like, fuck that shit. I'm not doing that. Yeah. It's not for me. I'm not celebrating this. Yeah, I did something else completely different and like closed my eyes and walked into a closet or something. I don't know. But this felt so good. And I don't even know where to begin because my CNN was on my TV from 7 a.m. and it's still sitting on the TV behind me, just muted, right?
Same.
So I think that I was excited. It felt really good. And it felt really, I mean, starting with last night with the COVID memorial, I was like, look at all this, I don't know, normalcy. Everybody's acting right. Everybody's acting like they have some goddamn sense. Like,
not talking about themselves.
Yes.
What a concept.
And talking about the American people.
Yeah.
Like, and what needs to happen. And again, like, it was just a good feeling to have, like, a burning down chaos not be the conversation of the day.
Yeah.
And just a little bit of pride and a little bit of like getting back to normal, like no matter what you feel about it, no matter if you feel it's phony or it's all bullshit or whatever the case may be, it is still feels good to have some decorum.
Yeah. And to have peace. To have someone who, like you said, valid or not, to look to someone who is now the leader of the free world, right? They give a shit, even a little bit, you know? And I think that that just, that speaks volumes and it spoke to me. And I didn't have that, that sigh of relief that everyone else talked about the day that the election was called. What was that, like November 6th or something?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, I never had it. And I had it a couple different times today, and I'm not one for tears. Like, I'm not a big crier. I'm emotional, but, you know, on the inside. And there were a couple times this morning where I felt super emotional, mm-hmm. During the swearing in, particularly when the Obamas walked out of the Capitol building onto the platform.
Wait. Can we just like,
we can definitely pause. Time just, out. Let's time
pause
out.
In that yes. moment because, yeah. The Obamas were literally being like the most perfect thing ever. That outfit, that color on Michelle.
Her belt.
Her belt.
I don't even like belts, but I was like, what is that belt?
I mean, I was like serving Luke's, okay? Like, it was ridiculous. The energy that the Obamas had, they were like, what, take a seat, what, Joe? Like, it was amazing. It was amazing. Like, you know, you miss me. We're here. Everything's going to be all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I just had to sit in that moment for a second. Wait, time out. No. Okay. I can. Yes, that. Do we talk about Joe's fist bump with Barack?
Oh, they love each other now so much.
But it wasn't even that. It was like the energy of that fist bump was like, we already been knowing. Like, this was our plan the whole time. Like, it was like mission accomplished, bitch. Like,
it was exactly what it was. It was a mission yes. accomplished fist bump. 100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Hillary's hair.
Even Bill's I hair.
Mean, I mean, Bill. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like everybody was just like, okay, we're back. Everybody can just calm down now and take pride in their appearance and themselves and their energy. Anyway, I just
except for Bernie Sanders, who Bernie was Sanders fabulous did not give it, in his own little way.
He did not give a literal fuck. I think the best meme I saw all day was that Bernie Sanders showed up to that. Like, this was one of the things on his list to do.
He was like, yeah, I'm going to show up to Joe's thing.
I'm going to go to Joe's thing. I'm going to go to Joe's thing real quick with these mittens. I have literally been posting about Bernie Sanders fucking memes all day because I'm here for all of it. I love him to the tips of my fingers and fucking toes. Mm-hmm. He showed up like he was at his kid's high school fucking play. And yeah. I loved it. And it was amazing.
No time.
He could give a fuck about these people in the pomp and no circumstance. And it was great. He's like, is there lobster? If not, I'm out of here. I loved every minute of it. It was great. I just love him so much. He's like, he just reminds me of like your no bullshit, very nice, but very mean grandpa that you still yeah. want to spend time with, but you're not quite sure why.
Yeah, and you're not allowed to call him grandpa. You have to call him Bernie.
Never.
Right.
You have to call him Bernie. Exactly. Because they're progressive like that. Okay. Anyway, walking down the steps, Michelle, go. Sorry, we digress.
No, that's okay. That was just one of the moments that, you know, sort of brought tears to my eyes, gave me chills. I get chills very easily. The swearing in obviously made me feel all kinds of ways with Justice Sotomayor and Kamala, obviously, just the showing of brown women doing their thing. And I don't know, it was a really big deal. And I looked at my son and I said, I might have tears. And he was like, oh, well, okay. You know, because he's my kid. But still, it was one of those moments that I'm so glad that I got to share with him. And
totally.
And I just hope that other people with their daughters, regardless of how they swing politically, yeah. took time to like appreciate that moment for what it was.
I agree with you. I mean, I got to sit with my son too. And this is where it's like, oh, thank God for virtual school. Cause we did not have class during that time and kind of right. sat down and just, and took it all in. And he was so funny because he had a lot of very kind of politically charged statements, but also then was just like, I also don't really want to sit here and watch this whole thing because he's an 11-year-old boy, right? And right. so I kind of, but then on the other side, he was like, he literally was just like, I don't understand when he was watching Kamala get sworn in. He goes, I just don't understand why a woman would vote for Donald Trump. He was like, I just don't get it. Like he just couldn't. And he kept asking, like, why would somebody do that?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't, he's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, he's flabbergasted because right. he's watching women assert themselves in this moment, which is mm-hmm. also, I feel like, just important to show your boys as it is to show your girls.
Yeah.
I feel like girls at their core, like I said before, like we've been knowing, we know what we're capable of.
100.
We just need people to believe that we're capable of it, but we know, we already know.
Yeah.
We've been knowing. Now it's just time to make sure that men and boys know what we're capable of.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that was very much on display, and it was just as important that our boys sit down and watch that as it is for someone's little girl to sit down and watch it, because it creates an environment where little, we'll call her Becky, little Becky goes to school with little Steven, the other Steven, not the Steven that was at the Capitol.
Not Yuck Yuck
Different Steven. Steven, not Yuck Yuck Steven. And they're the same.
Yeah.
They have the same opportunities. They have the same capabilities. And Steven knows that. And Becky knows that.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And that's it. So another observation that my son made today, just while the area was filling up and, you know, just random Congress people were filling the area, he was just like, I can't tell who was who. Granted, everybody had on masks, but also they were all white men with gray hair. So what does that say about our political structure? And I think that that was something super important. So then when the Obamas came out, I was like, look, look, you know what I mean?
That's who you're looking for. That's who we're looking for. So I think that that's really, really interesting, because yes, that is very much true. But obviously that landscape is changing drastically, and it's changing drastically and changing quickly. And yeah. I think that's, and I am a firm believer, and because these things are happening so quickly. So for the, you know, we'll call them the patriarchy, you know, the white powerful male, right? Yep. He's had control for a super duper long time. And what's happening is, it's like you've built this wall, and now one brick comes out, and then four more bricks come out at a time. And I feel like, what's your response to that? Your response is the GOP, the last 10 to 15 years. Fight, 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 fight. Spread lies, fight, 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 fight. Make sure these people don't take what's ours. Women, people of color. And that's very much the energy. And they don't have control of it anymore. That's why Mitch McConnell tucked his, you know what, between his legs.
And went to church this morning.
And went to church this morning because he's losing. Because this is not your world anymore. And even if the majority of it is your world, you still have to be held accountable by people who don't look like you, who have to pay the taxes on the decisions that you make. Like that bullshit wall that Mexico still was like, we ain't paying for that shit. They didn't pay a dime. Mexico didn't pay for it. So I'm sorry. Like, if you want me to trust somebody, I think I'm going to go with the guy that told you on day one, we ain't paying for that shit. And on day fucking, I don't know, 1,400 and whatever, was like, we told you we weren't going to pay for it.
It's still
sitting there. We told you, but we weren't paying for it. You know? So, I mean, that's important. And I think like what we've seen throughout the day today is, I don't know, pride.
Yeah. So much pride.
Transparency, like the new press secretary, it was that I want to say that today was the, like, that was the craziest part of my day. Like everything else expected, swearing people in, tears, great speech.
Yes,
I think we'll probably get to Gaga and J-Lo in a minute. But the press secretary coming out and having her like be nice and have everybody be prepared and have like, this, I've given you this, I've actually given you notes, and be kind and be welcoming and be transparent, but also do her job. And when they were like, what does he think about the impeachment? She was like, skirt. And like, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, it was really good. I was like, this is what it's supposed to be. I was like, damn, I guess I'll go make dinner.
Yeah. And granted, it's still early. Like, no one's given her a reason to be on the defensive or be smug, but it was very refreshing. But
she, it was refreshing, but she also was like, she also like, I was into it because she also kind of like let him know. She was like, we're not going to agree all the time.
Right.
But I'll be honest with you. I'll be straight up with you. Like, I'll tell you what you need to know when you need to know it.
Yeah.
But then a couple people, some guy brought up abortion. She was like, stop it.
Yeah.
She was like, skirt. That's going to be my, like, that's going to be my, like, 9 hours.
Why are we talking about this?
Yeah. She's like, bitch, I just got out here. You're trying to ask me hard questions about abortion. She was like, everybody knows he's a Catholic. He started his day at church. That's all I have for you. And she was like, next.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, that was it. Anywho, do we talk about Gaga? I mean.
Oh, Gaga. Oh, Gaga.
Gaga.
From the way she walked out, she looked so nervous, and I got immediately got nervous for her. Mm-hmm. But then I noticed the bird. It looked like a big ass mockingjay, and I was like, Katniss Everdeen is here, and she's gonna do all of the things, and it's amazing. And then she started singing, and it was beautiful. Like, we all knew that it was going to be. And then she started feeling the Gaga.
The Gaga. Saying,
I feel like she was holding herself back from going full Gaga. And I wish that, we could have seen it. But I thought it was fantastic.
I think she was great. I thought she was very classic. I loved everything that she had on. That pin was to die for.
Yeah.
That I just loved it. And I just loved that she came out. She does a very good job of theatrical, classic looks. And I think she did a great job, and her talent is undeniable.
Right.
That's really not a thing. I think the best, I've got a lot of texts today, but I think the best text that I got was when J-Lo had to follow her and you text me and said, I hope she practiced. I literally laughed out loud and like almost spit out my water.
Listen, as much as we all love J-Lo for whatever reason, right? Like, I don't have the biggest amount of confidence in her as a singer.
But because she's not a singer, she's an entertainer. And I think we could all just like resign ourselves to the fact that like, stop calling J-Lo a singer. She's an entertainer. If there was fucking pyro and she was like in a suit, a cat suit dancing all over the stage, everybody would love it. If it looked more like the Super Bowl, it would be great.
Yeah.
But with that said, you text me, I hope she practiced. I laughed. And I thought she did very nice.
Yeah.
Now, was she Gaga? Fuck no.
Okay.
But did she present herself in a lovely way for the song that she sang without any backup dancers or pyro? Yes.
Yes.
I think she did a very good job. I was very proud of her. And I know that you were texting me and you were like, what did she say in Spanish? And she said,
did she just cuss somebody out?
No, she just was making a reference to the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay.
But it did. I think she was just excited. And I think that it was, I think it was sent a really good message.
Yeah.
I think. I think that something that we don't talk about all the time is the very complicated relationship that the Hispanic community has with politics. And we know this in Texas because we see it a lot.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Republicans that are in the Hispanic community and they don't associate themselves with certain things, right? Yeah. Which is arguable whether that's right or wrong. And we deal with it in our own community a lot. We have some folks who feel that Herschel Walker's son is one of them, who struggle to understand that in an instance where someone had to choose, they would not choose you.
Right.
And no matter how much you play on their side, one day they will throw you under the bus because they are making decisions and creating policy that is not for you.
Yeah.
And that is against you. And that is against your people. And your ancestors would roll over if they're in their grave if they knew that that's how you were behaving. And that is a hard thing, I think, for a lot of folks. to reconcile with, because they very much want to be a part of the winning team.
Oh yeah.
But the way, and you and I know this, and this is how we operate, and we were raised this way, the winning team is the team that you are on, yeah, and that you fight for. So I think that that sent a really, really good message. I really thought that that was important. And I support her. I think she did a good job.
So do I. And she looked fantastic. Can we talk about Garth Brooks?
Fuck yeah, we can talk about Garth Brooks.
Without his mask on, running around, hugging everybody.
Okay. So I think I missed that part. So I was just, I obviously get really caught up in like the marketing and advertising and like how many songs he's going to sell after he does it. So I was very much caught up in that moment. First of all, him going out on a limb and doing that against his very old country fan base, which is predominantly Republican, is huge. He's all, people who know always know that him and Trisha, they're Democrats.
Yeah, he performed in 2009. I don't know why people are acting surprised.
Because he has never been, whether he's performed or not, he has never been open about who his candidate is. So I think that's the piece that, that's the piece that people are like, people don't really know, because he's been evasive. He's like, he's a low key Democrat. That's essentially what it is. And so for him to do this is like, and he kind of came out and said in an interview, like, I'm sure I'm going to piss a lot of Republicans off, because that's his fan base. But I think it's, again, this reaching across the aisle shit, like, be a grown up, have a conversation, do it. I thought he was really great, but I missed the whole mask hugging incident. And the internet was
hugging like everybody,
just like with no mask.
I mean, as soon as he was done, I don't know if he was supposed to turn around and walk back up the stairs, but I feel like homie did a lap and like hugged every living president.
Ew, really gross. What if Garth Brooks was actually sent there to give all of the living presidents coronavirus?
If he was sent there as a super spreader,
like a super spreader. We watch too much TV. But you know what, in 2 weeks you never know. So I just think that, like, I thought he was really good, and I thought it was a good moment. And I think he's gonna fucking chart this week. I would really like somebody to mark the day that I said that. I think he's gonna chart sometime in January. Okay. And people are gonna discover his music. Let's keep an eye on that. So yeah, I thought he was good. It was great. Can we talk, one thing I want to touch on, and this is like after, like, you know, all of the other different ceremonies, but the parade. So I don't know if anybody else was noticing this, but Joe likes to go off book.
Oh my gosh.
And Joe is just like, hey, Mayor of DC and the Secret Service. But it was the same, Kamala did it at some point, and she was like, these poor Secret Service guys are like, hey, stay on script.
Like, why do I have to jog after this 78-year-old man who can't just walk in a straight line? Like, stop talking to these people.
Yes, that was so funny. I just felt so bad for them, but it was like such a beautiful, but like both their families are so beautiful. And again, even that like Zaza Zoo about like your vice president and president's like family, I haven't had that in a while. Oh, they're just so great, and they're so good looking, and they're doing such good things, and they're such classy people.
Yeah,
I don't agree with that they did that, but like, look at that dress, you know what I mean? Like, just that, like, there has not been any Zaza Zoo in 4 years.
Yeah, and there's dogs in the White House again. That's so exciting. Just like the little things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. I don't know.
It's crazy. Feels good. It feels good. I think
it does. It feels really good.
I think the biggest feel good moment of the entire day, though, is Katy Perry. Can we give it to Katy Perry?
I think before we give it to Katy Perry, we have to talk about everybody who performed at the celebration.
Leading up to Katy Perry.
Leading up to, because she kind of closed the thing.
She did.
I feel like people are going to be upset with me when I say this. Why the fuck do we have to do every American thing with Bruce Springsteen? Like, why?
Because he's the boss. I don't know.
The boss of who? Like, I mean, I get it, but yeah, that was a long time ago.
Like 40 years ago.
Right. I totally understand it. It's just like, is this the representation of America now? Bruce Springsteen?
I think that it's a part. I think it's a part of the representation. It's a part,
but there are so many parts. I am 42 years old. I don't want to see another fucking thing where Bruce Springsteen sings a song about America.
I don't think I'm not mad about it, and I get it. And what if Bruce Springsteen like makes the call? If he calls the Biden people and he's like, hey, can I do this thing? Are they supposed to tell him no?
Yes. And I'm sorry, the event production team should have said no, because it's not like fresh and new. And not that everything has to be fresh and new, but like, I'm sorry, Bruce Springsteen ain't it. Let me tell you about a story about a time that I went to a festival and Billy Joel closed. This festival every year has a big headliner every night of the weekend. Friday night is the hip hop artist, and they usually have a rock artist on the Saturday night, and then they do a legacy artist on the last night. The last night I've seen Elton John, makes sense. Billy Joel played every song from his 1970s album and lost the entire crowd, and it was the most boring show I've ever seen in my entire life.
Sure.
And it's not to say, and you know, I'm a music lover. Uh-huh. I love all genres of music. I post about music all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I love music. Get over Bruce Springsteen. Like, I just feel like I don't care anymore. And maybe that's a popular opinion.
Maybe not unpopular. I don't think it's, maybe it is a popular opinion, but I think it's okay, because I think it is still very representative of a piece of America. And I think that that's okay. And I don't know, 78-year-old president's pieces.
Do you think he chose Bruce Springsteen?
I think that he's just become a staple in Democrats' entertainment.
But why?
I don't, because like I said, he's the boss.
The boss. I just don't, I want to know. I'm not dropping this bone. I want to know why and who decided that Bruce Springsteen, all Bruce Springsteen did was wear tight jeans and put an American flag handkerchief in the back of his ass pocket. And now he speaks for the American voice. I think that's antiquated. And I think there are, and this is, and see, I'm gonna get my backup. Here we go.
Hang on though. So, I don't think he speaks for all of America, but a portion.
This is
If we're lumping all of the acts together tonight, right? I think it was very representative of lots of different people.
Collectively.
Yeah.
But then why does he get to open the show?
You know what I'm going to say.
Do it.
Because he's the boss. I have no other answer. I have no idea.
So.
Who else was going to do it? Bon Jovi, or that shell of whoever Bon Jovi used to be? I didn't even watch
what
it. I walked away.
Did you watch? You didn't watch it?
I did.
It was literally
awful.
It was the trash. It was a dumpster fire of a performance. Number one. Like, it was like, there was like a beach, and like, I can't remember. He was saying a song that like, I totally know, but like somebody else sang it better.
And I was,
that's what it was. Oh my God. The Beatles. Right. So, I have a problem with that too. So you sang a trash cover of Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles that aren't even American. And there are actually multiple other American artists who have sung that song who would have done a better version of that song. And you sang it at the literal beach, which is corny. It was corny.
It was not good.
Let's talk about Justin Timberlake though, because
that was good.
There was a moment in that performance where he just kind of looked at the camera, and I was like, he just looked right at me. Like, I heard Melanie. And then I was like, okay, hi, yes, I'm here.
He was totally talking to you.
1,000%. Uh-huh. And so I really enjoyed that performance because
it was for you.
Reasons. It was for me. And I thought it was really, really good.
So did I.
Can we talk about Demi Lovato and that really next level XR stage?
Yeah. Yeah, I love Demi Lovato.
I do too, and I really wanted it, yeah, but it didn't quite
It didn't land.
Did you see?
And that's too bad.
Did you? Yeah, it didn't land. Did you see John Legend? I miss John Legend.
Unpopular opinion.
Very good.
I'm sure it was. Ooh, I don't. He doesn't move the needle for me. John Legend.
Ever?
The song at the end of Selma, Glory. I like that song.
I feel like that's a no. I feel like that's a no.
He doesn't really. Foo Fighters though.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Very nice opening speech about his mom and teachers. Yes. I enjoyed that. I never not enjoy a Foo Fighters performance.
Same.
But then I was just fine. Like, I was just like, oh, I've heard the song a million times.
Right.
There were so many good performances, I think, like, in general. I think I liked seeing all the people. I do think the representation of people in the United States, I thought was very good.
Yeah.
I just thought it was, like, a great, healthy start to everything that we need.
Yeah.
And Katy Perry.
Oh. She was so good.
She was so good. Her outfit was so good. I loved her. She sounded great. It was very, I really enjoyed all of it. All of the fireworks, literal fireworks.
Oh, and I'm a sucker for a good fireworks show. You know, like.
You and I are the same.
So good.
You and I are the same. We love that. And I think here's the deal, right? All of this is a symbol of moving forward. Mm-hmm. I really hope, you know, when we talk about the things that Joe talked about in his speech, I'm going to start calling him President Joe. So when President Joe spoke, there was just this thread of unity throughout the entire thing. And that's all anybody has talked about all day. And I think that is my sentiment as a human being walking through the world, is that let's have the talk. If you want to understand, let's have the talk.
100%.
But what I will not do is mistake unity for lack of accountability. And sure. And I think that goes for our vice president and our president. I think now that we've done the work that we needed to do, I think it's now focusing on the things that we want to see out of this presidency. And I think the long and short of it is that, you know, we talk about 4 years a lot, but the long and short is we have two.
Uh-huh.
We have to maintain midterms. We have to make sure a shit ton of things get done in these first 2 years.
Yes.
Right. And so I think that that's going to be the tough part. I think that that's going to be, you know, we talked about the clown yuck yucks in the beginning. Where'd they go? They all got real quiet. I don't know about you, but my TikTok, my social media, like everything's real quiet. Where'd they go? Did they all crawl back under their rocks for a great plan? And then what's that plan look like?
Well, I mean, I feel like that's a bigger conversation, right? Because social media has silenced them. So where are they?
No, not all of them. Not all of them, girl. I mean, TikTok is still, there was still a lot of noise going on, and then it got real quiet. And now people are kind of losing their shit. I think what I'm starting to see is like people who feel like, and this is where maybe, you know, people say I'm kind of a hard ass, but this is where my humanity is starting to kind of gnaw at me a little bit. Is there are people, I'm seeing videos of people broken down and crying and broken because they just realized that they have been lied to for 4 years and that they have been gaslit and they're just figuring it out. And it is sad. It is really sad.
Sure.
And I think that like part of me, you know, the hard bitch in me wants to be like, you earned it. Them's the breaks. Go crawl under a rock.
Oh.
And then the human in me wants to be like, do you want to talk about the truth? Come have a hot cocoa. And let's talk about the 1619 Project by the New York Times.
Yeah.
And we can start there. Right. And because there is the saddest thing you will ever see, and what I am realizing in my conversations in 2020, throughout all of the things that have happened, is that the saddest thing that can ever happen to you is that somebody lies to you.
Yeah.
And that somebody lies to you purposely to keep you in the dark. And for a lot of Americans, that has been happening to them their entire life, whether it's through their family unit, through their politics, or through their education.
Yeah.
And when you wake up to realize that no one told you the truth in school, that your family fed you a bunch of bullshit, and then the president that you thought knew all the things and enforced your lack of education and lack of family structure was lying to you too, that must feel like shit.
Yeah.
Because at the very least, as a Black child, my education was reinforced at home for what it actually was.
Yeah. There's always that secondary education, right? Exactly. That we have to get at home.
Yes.
And Elliot and I were having some really hard conversations the other day, just because I didn't know what today was going to look like on a very local level. And just his safety out walking the dogs. Is he safe out on the streets by himself? Does he go swing by and pick up a friend with, you know, their masks, obviously, or do I have to go with him? And I had to explain why I was concerned. And these were stories that he'd heard before, but never directly involving him. And, you know, parenting fail or success, I don't know, but I freaked him out. But we had to have the conversation. And that's that secondary education.
Yeah, he has to because exactly, because he lives in a very different space. And you and I talk about this about our children. They look different.
Yeah.
And they're going to be afforded different privileges because of that.
Yeah.
And we have different things that we need to be doing as mothers, but we still have biracial children. Right. Isn't that interesting? And I think that Miles said at the top of the inauguration, he was like, I feel like something bad is going to happen. And I was like, no, it's not. And I just kind of took a long pause and I said, no, it's not. And he was like, how do you know? And I said, because there are a shit ton of National Guard there.
Yeah.
There are police everywhere and they are taking the precautions that they need to take to keep people safe. Our children, like our children live in different Americas, no matter like depending on where they grew up, where they live, who they are, what their race is. And that's just the truth of the matter. And I hope that the long and short of it, and as I just said the long and short of it, and I said our kids live in different Americas. I looked up at my television and they were replaying Kamala Harris taking her oath. And I hope that in general, our children are emboldened by that image.
100%.
Like, and I want them to see that image. And I think the difference between, you know, us growing up and had never seen a person of color really in any, you know, any place of power in politics.
Yeah, not a capacity like this by
any means. We were always taught, you can be anything you want to, but we were never actually shown an example.
Prove it.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I'll just sit around here and wait for anything can happen. Right.
My Barbie's a doctor.
I never had a Black Barbie. That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
I was too busy hanging out with Barbie and the Rockers and she had a stage, which.
And Christy was the Black Barbie and the Rocker.
My mom didn't buy me that one. Thanks, mom. Yeah. And but here's the thing. I didn't even play with the fucking Barbies because I've never been that kind of girl. I just rearranged the lights on the stage.
Telling.
I mean, incredibly telling. I was an 8-year-old, like moving kill kits and like lights and shit on the stage. Like, and then look at my chosen profession. Anywho, so I always knew, I guess. But the long and short of it is that we were never shown, there was never an example of the things that were being told to us, right? You can do all these things. Now, our kids are like, there's an example. Like, right. You know, cite your evidence. Obama, 2008.
Exactly. So when I was getting emotional today, you know, Obama's on the stage and I tell my son, okay, I'm like, all right, well, you've had a president who looks like you. I have never had anyone in a position of this kind of power who looks remotely like me, meaning a female, right? So yeah, it was a lot. It was a long day.
Yes,
I know I'm tired. It is well past Joe Biden's bedtime. So
it's all the way past Joe's, but I hope he's asleep. And I hope he's getting a good nap.
Oh man.
And then he's waking up tomorrow and giving everybody the $2,000 that they deserve. And also, oh wait. No. I was just thinking, I was like, he signed the re-entering the Paris Climate Deal, which I think is also super important. 17 executive orders were signed today. Like, what a gross thing to have to do to be like, okay, that was dumb. Next.
It's just like, fix it.
Exactly. It's like, that's cool. I would really like to make sure that people get the money that they deserve. And I would really like to understand more clearly how we are going to look at the racial disparities in this country. And I would like to start with the police. And I'm not ashamed to say that. What does that look like, Joe? I want to know. And I also would really like to know what Bernie's plans are for the budget. Pumped about that one. Pumped about that one. I want to know all the things. But I, long and short, I'm just like very proud of today. I also feel like this really great sense of peace. And I don't know about you, but I hope that no matter what side you sit on or what understanding that you seek, that you got some peace from today and you got some decorum from today and you were able to put your fucking negative energy down for even if it's just a day, because today was great and it was awesome.
Yeah, I hope the same. And for those who maybe didn't, you're probably not listening to us go on and on, but if you are.
Yeah, this isn't for you. You shouldn't come back here. Yeah.
That's not what I was going to say. I was going to say,
sorry.
I'm happy to talk and listen.
No, I think Tamala, you call Tamala. She will talk to you.
Don't call her.
Yeah, do not call me because I will tell you not to fucking come back here. This show is not for you. We talk about real shit here. And you think all people are equal. It's probably not for you. But Tamala will definitely walk you down.
I will.
A road of understanding and consideration, and she might even give you a hug.
I mean, not with COVID. I'm not hugging anybody.
Like in 2022.
In 2022, get your shots, and then I might give you a hug.
Get your shots. Get your shots, y'all. Don't be scared. Just do it. Anywho.
Anyway, yes. On that note, we miss all of you, and we will be back with new episodes this summer. And heads up, season 2 is all about the ladies. Till next time, thank you for spending your time with us.